from Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios, bona fide rock band Michael Rault and his band are here. The new record is called It's a New Day Tonight. Information is at Michael Rault, RAULT.com. Hello, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming, I guess, down, right? All of you in the band are Canadian.
This is true.
And you are originally from which part of Canada?
I'm originally from Edmonton, Alberta, and as is Josh, our guitar player in the band right now, but the rest of the band are all born and bred Torontonians. And if it, we might get confusing here, but I live in Montreal and the rest of the band lives in Toronto.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Speaking of the rest of the band, who have you brought in with you and what are they playing today?
I've got Josh Eigenram, the aforementioned Edmontonian, on a guitar.
Hello.
Yeah, I got Matt Aldred on guitar as well.
Howdy.
And I've got Matt McLaren on the bass and Jay Anderson on the drums.
Fantastic. It's nice to see all of you. Thanks for being here. Before we get to music, I just want to say how grateful I am that you have the ability to play your guitars. It was not that many days back that you actually had them lifted temporarily.
That's true. It wasn't everyone's guitars. It was just my two guitars and Matt McLaren's bass.
What happened? Where were you?
We were in Nelson, BC, and we played a last-minute house show party that was very much, when you say you got your guitar stolen from a house show, you expect that it was like a wild, crazy house show, but it was a very neighborhood-friendly, kids and people and old people and everybody just there. And then somebody managed to come in and, I guess, steal them from beside our drummer while he was sleeping in the living room after the whole thing was done. So Jay was kind of freaked out because some stranger was just in the room with him while he was asleep. So that was kind of weird. But yeah, but then we ended up getting him back. So it went like viral. There was like 1,000 shares. I think if people shared my music like that, I'd be famous, you know? But it was really nice. People banded together and we got like lots of shares on the internet and we got radio coverage and newspaper coverage in Nelson. So eventually
law enforcement helped.
The law enforcement got involved. And yeah, within less than 24 hours, the cops had got a hold of us through our management and said that they were pretty confident that they had the guy and the guitars. And then the next day, we got sent a picture by our host from Nelson with the guitars at his house.
Because you guys had moved on to like the next date, right?
Yeah, we stayed in Nelson as long as we could. But at about 3:30, we had that night off, so we could stay longer than we could have otherwise. But we were playing the next day in Vancouver, and it's a 7-hour drive. So we wanted to get there that night. And so we already got there at like midnight. We waited around till then, and it was kind of like, I guess we need to leave. Which felt really terrible, leaving and being like, well, I guess we're just going to leave all those guitars back there. Mm. And I mean, like, Matt's bass is like a 70s P bass, and my electric guitar particularly is like has sentimental value. It was my dad's before me, and he's still alive, but he gave it to me when I moved to out east in Canada. But it's like a 60s 335 that there's pictures of me playing it as a baby. So it was just kind of like, well, is this the end? And also, sorry, long-winded answer, but the guitar was also stolen once before when it was my dad's when
really?
I was a kid, and he got it back through extraordinary circumstances. Like, nobody gets their gear back, but this guitar has been double stolen and double come back.
Wow.
And we used to call it the magic guitar when I was a kid, and now I think I'm calling it double magic.
Well, I'm glad it's back. I'm glad it's here. We'll take good care of it while you guys are here in the studio.
Right on.
You mentioned your dad. Your dad is a member of the Edmonton Blues Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. That was a couple of years ago. They gave him that, yeah.
So you must have spent some time at his feet hearing and watching the process of learning and playing guitar?
Yeah, he definitely taught me guitar at certain periods of time. I'm kind of half self-taught and half picked up things from different people, and then another half, even though that's too many halves, taught by him directly for certain things. But I definitely was around him a lot when I was just a kid. I mean, you know, even before I was conscious of it, I was in his home studio and stuff listening to him work on recordings and things. So I think it gave me some insight into how to be a musician somewhat.
Right on. The new record is called It's a New Day Tonight. Michael Rault and his band are live in the studios today. I love the record. I can't wait to hear something live. What do you guys want to do first?
I think we're going to do I'll Be There first.
That is I'll Be There. It's Michael Rault live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. That one kicks off the new record called It's a New Day Tonight out on Wick Records, michaelrault.com, the place to go online. Michael, in an interview, you had mentioned that you were looking for an escape from what you had defined as frustrating and dissatisfying conditions in day-to-day.
Yes.
What was going on? Was it music-related or just the stuff outside of music that was weighing on you at the time?
It was all the above. It was a huge transition period for a lot of reasons. There was personal things going on. I had to move and figure out a bunch of different things as to where I was going to be living and stuff. I ended up moving to Montreal from Toronto because I got evicted from my apartment shortly after starting to tour. Well, it was nothing. I didn't do anything bad, but they needed to get rid of the place, so... And then I found out how expensive places actually were in Toronto at that point in time, and I couldn't find a place. So I had to move, and I didn't really have a recording set up for a long time. And I was also trying to make something that I felt was, like, you know, strong and a big enough step away from what I'd done before, but still in the same vein, sort of. And so I was putting a lot of pressure on myself, and I think that was, I mean, those were the main sources of frustration. But, I mean, a lot of things have changed from the time that I started writing this record to the time that... we finally got on the road. It's been a big learning and growing period, and I think there's been some growing pains along the way.
Yeah. This is technically your second full length, right? But you have released more than that through the years.
Yeah, there's some other things. I mean, when I was a kid, I was putting stuff out independently on CDRs and stuff, and I did one like officially released record that wasn't released outside of Canada. So I guess that's like my first LP was that one, although... depends who actually counts that as an LP or not in the grand scheme of things. And then EPs and singles and stuff. And sometimes people just wanted to put things out digitally. And, you know, I have an EP on Bandcamp that's not anywhere else. So I don't know. I don't know how many things I've actually done.
Proper releases.
There's been two internationally.
A lot has been made out of the fact that unintentionally, maybe intentionally, this has kind of ended up as a thematic record.
Right.
Surrounding sleep or sleep issues, right? But it didn't really start that way, right? It was just kind of coincidental for a while?
More or less. I wrote a couple songs that were about sleeping, and I was like, oh, maybe I should do a theme album about sleeping and dreaming. And then I was like, no, I shouldn't do that because I don't really have a great concept. Like, you know, I feel like you read the play that, like, Bowie was writing for Ziggy Stardust, and it's got this crazy storyline that all the songs like are in. It's like a musical that was just the songs are taken out of the musical. So I was like, if that's a concept record, then this isn't really a concept record because I don't have anything like that going on. I just have a bunch of songs that happen to be about sleeping and dreaming. So I've been telling people it's not a concept record, but people keep coming back to the concept of the record. So I don't know. Again, I guess it depends who you ask, how many albums I have or how many of them are concept records.
Right. When it came to your awareness that you had already written some songs about sleep and you decided, you know, maybe you'll work on a couple more, were those harder?
Yeah. I mean, it was harder to write songs as the project went along because I felt like you're just like building a more and more complex structure. It's like trying to get out, like you've already built all these hallways to a house and you're trying to figure out your way out of it at the end of the thing, and you like have built a maze around yourself. Because I was like short a couple songs, or we decided that a couple songs weren't, that we had tracked, weren't quite what we wanted. And so then it was like, okay, write two more songs, but make sure they're really good and they round out the album and they fit in with the rest of them. And you're just like, it's not really a very wide open creative process at that point in time. Right. You're like coming into the coming into your room or your studio or whatever to write, and you're just like, I need something that fits into this spot, and it needs to be kind of like this, but it needs to sort of be different enough to kind of break it up a little bit. So it got harder as it went along. But actually, the last one I wrote was the song called "Sleeping and Smiling," which we're not doing today. So it's, but you know, you can listen to it on the record if you're out there in Radioland. But that one was actually one of my favorite songs, I think, on the record. So I guess it worked out. It was hard, but it was fruitful.
Well, let's hear another of the tunes that did make the record. You guys said that you're going to do New Day Tonight, right?
Yeah, we'll do New Day Tonight for you right now.
All right, this is Michael Rault playing live here on Jefferson Public Radio, a tune from the new record called It's a New Day Tonight.
Start to feel all right just after midnight with you, and it's a new day tonight. Heard it all before, so don't knock down my door, 'cause it's true that it's a new day. Tonight how it's supposed to feel, and then, ooh, my love is in season. Ooh, it's so hard to believe in, but everything's okay. My mind's a million miles away.
That is effectively the title track. Very cool. Thank you for that. Michael Rault is live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record out on WIC is called It's a New Day Tonight. MichaelRault.com, the place to go online for information. This came out on WIC Records, which probably most are not familiar with. It is a subsidiary, perhaps surprisingly, of Daptone Records, right? This was Daptone Horns that were behind the Amy Winehouse record. Lots of amazing old school sounding soul and R&B crossover and a 60s, 70s-esque rock band.
Yeah.
That seems like an unlikely combination.
Yeah. I mean, I've always thought it made sense. I feel for a long time playing somewhat old school inspired rock and roll that I've been a fan of Daptone for a long time and been like, man, it'd be cool if they did a rock and roll label. And then they've done a rock and roll label in the recent years. And I heard about it at first just because our friends, the Mystery Lights, were signed to it, who we'd played shows with on tour before. And I was like, oh, cool, they're actually doing the rock and roll subsidiary of Daptone. That's a cool idea. And then I didn't think I would sign to it, but eventually I ended up going to record at Daptone, and they eventually signed me. But yeah, WIC is the new rock and roll subsidiary of Daptone, and they're doing all sorts of things that don't fit into the other Daptone, under the other Daptone umbrellas.
You had talked about the recording process that you got to be a part of recording there at Daptone. Everything that you had done prior had been kind of digital, right? Lots of piecing things together, and this was much more straight ahead, analog, lots of live to tape kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's been an interesting process. I feel like both because it was analog and I haven't usually done analog, and also because I was going in a more elaborate direction with arrangements. Between those two things, it really forced me to get better at playing music, which I'm happy for now, but it was a challenge. I think if I would have done this digitally, I probably would have done a lot of editing to try to make it all work, but instead I had to really practice.
Because of that method, do you think that what you captured is a better representation of the way the five of you guys play?
Well, it wasn't all five of us on the record, because it was me with some of the Daptone session guys, and okay, then I overdubbed everything. But, I mean, I think the fact that I approached it that way on the record made it so that I had to really go in on learning and arranging all the parts and really thinking about it. There wasn't really much that was kind of like, when you're recording digitally, you can kind of tuck things away and then like be like, oh, wait, we muted all these 16 tracks, and then be like, oh, that part right there is amazing. Put that in there. And then that's a fun way to arrange. It's like very collage oriented. But like, when you're doing stuff analog, it's like, what are you going to do here? We have something there. If you don't like it, we can put something on top of it. But if you do like it, we will never get it back. And you're like, I'm getting rid of that and I'm doing this. And then you have to plan out what you're going to do. And then you have to actually play it with very few edits or punch-ins or anything. So I think that approach definitely set me up on the right direction for getting this all together live once we all got together with this group. Because I had already put a lot of the work into figuring out how everything was supposed to fit together. And then when we all got together, there was a certain energy around the project already about just trying to like perfect the live performance of it. So, and then luckily I'm playing with very talented musicians who are able to bring a lot to it as well.
There are a lot of these great three-part guitar lines throughout the record. You have referred to them as guitarmonies, which I love because it does kind of capture what you're going for with this sound. Did you have that in mind, or did that evolve as you added players to what you were doing by yourself?
I mean, the guitarmonies thing is a strange like solo meditation for me or something. I do them by myself and just layer my guitars and come up with these arrangements. And I've really enjoyed it since I started doing it. It was something that really only started mostly on this record. I'd kind of like flirted with it a little bit on previous recordings, but on this record, when I demoed Sleep With Me, it was actually Matt, who's playing guitar here with me. He came over and helped me do a demo, like finish the demo. I'd already put down a guitar and drums and vocal. And then I had this idea of doing these harmonized guitar lines through a fuzz. And I started to lay it down, and it took me forever at that point in time. I had not perfected the art of guitar harmonies yet. But I slowly pieced together, and Matt was very patient listening and waiting for me to get it together. And I immediately found that I would end up being drawn to interesting harmony arrangements and interesting lines and interesting layers that like switch between a bunch of different intervals and ideas as far as arrangement goes that I normally wouldn't do. So as soon as I started doing that, I just realized that it was a really cool thing to explore as someone who primarily plays guitar music, to be able to layer sounds and get into like stuff that mostly people only do with like synths or strings or stuff. Yeah. So it's kind of cool to like open up that whole world just as a guitar player for myself.
Well, it's a great record. It's really easy to listen to, and perhaps more importantly, it's a great driving record.
Oh, right on.
Right? You can just kind of put it in and cruise.
That's cool.
So I love that you guys are here. Thanks again for coming by. It's nice to meet all of you.
Thank you for having us.
Before you head out, your dad, in addition to being a musician, is also a radio guy.
That's true.
He has his own show.
Yeah, he does shows on CKUA, which broadcasts across Alberta and Canada.
Big shout out to them.
Yeah, right on.
All right, what do you guys want to wrap up with today?
We're going to close up with me over on the keyboard. I'm going to do a song called Sleep With Me, which is also on the album.
And this is an old school Horner keyboard that you're playing.
This is true. This is a pianet right here.
Right on. It's Michael Rault, live on Jefferson Public Radio. Sleep With Me. It's Michael Rault playing live with his band here on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called It's a New Day Tonight, out on Wick Records. Michael Rault, RAULT.com is the web address. Michael, it's nice to meet you. Thanks again for coming by, and to all of you.
Thanks very much for having us. It was nice to meet you as well.